This is the Austin Road Show podcast. The Roads Rewind.
Brad Ushery, who's had some pretty impressive news over the course of the last couple of days. It seems like Augusta's number one public advocate for building a new civic center at Regency Mall has finally seen the light. It took him long enough, but Mayor Hardy Davis has written a letter to the Coliseum Authority asking, I guess, the four members that are holdouts to get on up off of that thing and see the light and understand that the voters of Augusta-Richmond County and the business community in Augusta-Richmond County has said once and for all with a certain level of forcefulness that they want to see a new civic center, a new civic arena built downtown. Brad Ushery and Cedric Johnson, who have been on the Coliseum Authority now for many years, have both been kind of leading the charge for that internally. And I have to tell you, you guys were kind of the lone voice in the wilderness for a while there. There were a lot of folks that were doubting you, Brad.
Yeah, but we knew we'd keep fighting.
Well, I knew that you had the better idea. I knew that you had the better concept. But there's six members on the Coliseum Authority.
Correct.
So there were four of them, a solid majority, that wanted to see it move. But we all knew that they were manipulated behind the scenes by a political faction out in South Augusta that didn't want to stand accountable for what they were doing. People like J.B. Powell and Ed Tarver and a few other folks that had a great deal to do with Mayor Davis getting on board with these four Coliseum Authority members. Darren Smith, Benita Jenkins, who were the other two?
Linda Wiley and Booker Washington.
Booker Washington and Linda Wiley.
Booker Robinson.
Booker Robinson. So you had, again, four members of the authority that were solidly on board with the notion that things needed to move out to Regency Mall. But again, you stuck to your guns, you held to your argument, and you and Cedric have prevailed. Have you had a conversation with Hardy Davis? He's still in Hawaii now at the mayor's conference. He sends this letter or releases the letter while he's away, which I find very, very interesting. But did you have any conversation with him before this happened that he was going to do it?
No conversation. We appreciate the letter.
Yeah.
And we thank the Augusta Commission for their support through this, and we especially thank the voters for their support through this.
So no idea as to why it was timed the way that it was?
No clue. Again, we just appreciate it, and we're ready to move forward.
Have you had any conversation with any of the four that have been specifically asked to change direction?
I haven't. We plan to have a meeting next Tuesday, a call meeting, to address this.
Right now, the last time that you called, I think you called for another feasibility study or a logistical study as to what would be needed to make changes at your current site, and it was you and Cedric, the only two voices supporting that?
Well, no, John Kelly has been supported.
John's on it, too.
John and I are the two positive votes.
Gotcha. Cedric is the chairman, and he can't vote.
Only votes in a tie.
Tie. I got you. So it's six members and the chairman.
Right.
Okay. So John Kelly was named. I was unfortunately leaving out of the mix here. So it was you and John Kelly and Cedric that were against the other four. So again, no word at all from the other four.
No word. But you know, we're set to go. Again, we'll have a call meeting Tuesday. We've already paid for an arena analysis and renderings. We want to get those done. And the company, Will and Perkins, they're set to go. From the time we tell them to go to when they finish will be 8 weeks.
Do you have any concept as to whether or not this is a total take the thing down to the foundation and build where you are, or look a few blocks down the road, or maybe even in another area of downtown Augusta?
I don't build arenas, and I don't pretend to, but our plan is to keep the arena working as it is and build in the existing parking lot or near it.
By the way, just to remind everyone, because everybody screams and throws a conniption fit when you announce that such a plan, while it's not ideal, as a matter of fact, it is a pain to have to deal with, virtually, I say every, a whole lot of stadium projects all over the country have been done exactly that way, including in my beloved Pittsburgh when they were in the process of tearing down or making the transition from Three Rivers Stadium to both PNC Park and Heinz Field. They were building them and still playing football in Three Rivers until the very day that they imploded it, and then they turned that into a parking lot, and all the crowds just moved into the two new buildings. So while it is, again, a pain in the fanny, it can be done.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, our plan is if we want the better acts, if we want to be on the entertainment map, so to speak, we've got to do this. So we just got to take the inconvenience and live with it for a few months.
What's the seat capacity that you're leaning toward right now, or that the conversation
again, has? I'm going to leave it up to the architects, but, you know, a minimum of 10,000 usable seats, and accent on usable. You know, we have
10,000 permanent seats?
Well, no, usable, meaning that when you have a concert, we could get 10,000 people in.
Well, that was the question, because when you say 10,000 seats, I get the notion that that's 10,000 seats with an empty floor, that you can add another 2,000 or 3,000 seats. So you're talking about 10,000 seats total, with probably 8,000 hard seats.
And I'm going to say 10,000, that's the minimum. It could be as much as 12.
Gotcha. Right now, the Civic Center, if I'm not wrong, has, what, 6,000 hard seats? And well, you add another 2,000?
There's probably about 8,000 or 7,800 seats, but when we put a stage in, you're down to about 6,000. So you lose all the seats behind the stage.
Gotcha. Understood.
And we would build this, or the initial thoughts were, again, we don't have any renderings yet, so I don't know this, but this is what I perceive would happen. It's going to be built like a horseshoe. So we wouldn't have seats at one end, because we don't rely on hockey and basketball. We rely on entertainment.
But will this preempt or preclude ever having a sporting event or a sporting team in it?
Absolutely not.
Okay. So you still have the ability to bring in a basketball game if you want to and all that. So you would have a large enough floor to accommodate.
Yeah, absolutely. You have enough flat space to do trade shows.
Yeah.
But you just don't lose those seats at concerts.
Understood. Has there been any discussion behind the scenes over the last year or two about offers from other minor league hockey or basketball teams? I know that, you know, Augusta had tremendous success with the Augusta Lynx for about 5 years, and then things started to kind of wane. A lot of the problem with having a hockey team, and that's when I was on the Coliseum Authority, so I know firsthand, is that you just eliminate, I think, what, 60 dates a year right off the bat, that you know, the concerts can't come in and other events can't come in. Also, because you've got at least a day before and after a hockey game, That's actually more than 60 games. I mean, that's the 2-3 days on either side of the games as well. So you're really looking at disabling the arena in a way that a lot of folks don't understand.
Well, my experience with the hockey was not with the Lynx. It was a team that came after them, and it was very much a losing proposition for the arena. And it was taking away premium dates, and we were losing some very good concerts because of the hockey team that was losing money for us every time they played.
Wow. Do you have, again, or is Augusta still being courted by hockey teams, or are we kind of off that circuit now?
Yeah, that's a question for the management team. I don't think so, but again, that's a question for Spectra.
Gotcha. All right, so we got to take a quick break. When we come back, Mr. Ushery and I will continue. And while I have him here, I'm going to ask him about business downtown. He's got a couple of those that seem to be doing pretty well. And also, you may have read in the papers or been by there and seen, he and his family have also restored the old Snowcap Drive-In in North Augusta. And it's funny, North Augusta's kind of come back with a bit of a renaissance of its own in the last couple of years. Can't imagine why. But it's a great, great time to be a business owner, particularly a restaurateur in the downtown Augusta and downtown North Augusta areas. And Brad Ushery and his family have a lot of experience in that realm, to say the very least. He was born to it. Matter of fact, I don't think you could have done anything else if you wanted to. You were born to be a fat man, and you know it.
Absolutely.
And I think your sons were, too. Oh, I had an email question here. We're going to knock this out of the park right this minute. No matter what happens with the new arena, whether you redo what's there, you build, it's always going to be James Brown Arena, right?
Yes.
Okay. Everybody's like, oh, they're going to change the name and take... No, no, no. It'll always be the big Augusta Performing Arts Center will always be James Brown Arena.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's great, because a lot of people were worried about that. Brad, you've been around on the Coliseum Authority how many years now?
Six.
A lot of debate back and forth about these four people being asked to go ahead and resign because they've been nothing but an impediment. And how do you feel about that? Do you think it would be better to remove those four, or do you think you can bring them to the table and move forward?
You know, Austin, I'm dedicated to my role. I can't make a comment on that. And I'm really focused now on the current site and getting rolling. So when we meet next Tuesday, I hope the vote turns to move forward. And, again, I can't speak on the other four. I can just say that my focus is on the current site and moving forward, because every month that passes that we don't start something, we're putting good money after bad money to keep the old building running.
In case somebody listening to the show today is new to the Aries, matter of fact, my good buddy Jay, since you're a transplant, you don't know about this. One of Augusta's greatest all-time businesses when I was a kid, and even before I was a kid, before I was born, was Fat Man's Forest in downtown Augusta. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, Fat Man's catered my wedding.
Well, he said Fat Man's catered his wedding. I didn't know that. Well, that's Brad's, Brad's spot. That recognizes you. Well, Fat Man's, I mean, you enjoy the catering down there at the mill. I mean, that's where, you know, the big location is now. You guys were over in the heart of the medical district between Payne College and MCG. And what was the exact address of the old Fat Man's Forest?
1545 Laney Walker Boulevard.
There you go, 1545 Laney Walker.
And if you go back a little further, it was called Gwinnett Street.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I loved it in 1965 when I was going by there, 66, 67, picking out Christmas trees on up through my days in college when the OR was operating right there. Did you rent that building? I know you didn't run the OR.
No.
But did you just rent the building to the owners?
Yes.
Who was it that owned the OR? And the OR operating room was a great bar. It was awesome.
Well, his name was Doc Guido, but I don't know his real name.
Oh, Doc Guido. What was it? What in the world?
Michael.
And he actually had a band called Doc Guido. What in the world was his name, Michael? I'll have to figure that out.
One of the great success stories, and then they spent too much money.
Well, that I was going to ask you about that. What ended up happening with the OR? Because for 5 years, it was the place to go. And then all of a sudden, it disappeared. What happened?
If you spend more money than you make, that's what happens.
What were they spending the money on? They weren't spending it on decorations. I can promise you that. It was a bare bones. They went into the old Fat Man's there when you guys, you know, closed that portion of the operation down and basically just put tables and a stage in and a bar. It wasn't like they spent any money on, you know, fancy decorations or anything.
I think the first bad purchase was an airplane.
Oh, so it wasn't related to the building. It was the ownership itself. Oh, they got a little highfalutin for their pocketbook. I understand what you're saying. Okay. Well, it was the place to go for about 5 years. And as quick as it was there, it was gone.
They did a great job. They turned it.
They did. From what little as my good buddy Mickey Dolan said, I was there and I'm told I had a good time. You were already a married and respectable human being at that point, though. You weren't hanging out the car windows and yelling at the moon still.
No, sir.
What year did you and Paige get married?
1982.
Oh, yeah, that was it. You were behaving yourself. You were behaving yourself. By the way, a lot of people ask the Fat Man's concept when it comes to holiday store and all that kind of thing. Any chance you or one of the boys will ever bring that back or revisit that? I know that you've moved into the catering business and Fat Man's Cafe at the Mill and Southern Salad, which we'll talk about in a minute. But any chance any Fat Man's Christmas store will ever come back?
You know, the way the retail environment is now, Austin, I can't imagine going in and building a store like that.
Would it maybe make sense, though, since you've got those catering rooms that kind of sit there empty for a few weeks out of the year, that you might look at doing something like that, just filling them up with Christmas stuff and saying, come get some boiled peanuts and buy a couple of decorations at Fat Man's?
I like my lifestyle the way it is.
Well, what a great name, though, and you still got, you know, two or three generations of Augustans that still remember Fat Man's.
Well, my boys and their cousins, you know, loved Fat Man's, and they would love nothing more for us to get it kicked off again. I'm sure they'd jump in there and help, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, speaking of your boys, one of them is working here with you.
Correct.
And the other one is now a Hollywood filmmaker.
Well, he's working with Lady Antebellum. He's doing all their music videos.
I say Hollywood because he's a Hollywood type.
Yes.
Hodges, right?
Correct.
And so Hodges is traveling the world with Lady Antebellum, and he's the head of their production, their video production. So he handles not only their music videos, but any kind of documentary style stuff that's done in concert, any of their personal appearances that they want to save for DVDs or whatever, online material. So he's got to be pretty busy.
Yes, very busy.
Yeah. Where did he get his training, Brad?
Well, he went to SCAD for college. But tell you the truth, he's self-taught. You know, he's read everything, and he continues to get education on his own.
Did he go to Davidson?
No, he was at Richmond.
Richmond Academy. Wow, what year did he graduate? Do you remember?
2006.
So he literally was coming of age about the time the Lady A crew was getting it figured out.
Yep.
So they kind of grew up together.
He's been with them, I think, 3 years now.
Did he know the guys when they were in high school? They were all in high school about the same time.
No, they're older than Hodges.
Oh, they are?
Yes.
I guess they are a little bit, come to think of it. And now here it is. He works with Charles Kelly, and you're on the Coliseum Authority with Charles' brother John.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's keeping it all in the family.
We keep in touch that way.
Absolutely. So your son, Havard, and by the way, that's a family name. I always question about where'd that come from. That's is that your mom's maiden name?
Correct. Yes.
Havard.
Yep.
He was featured on a reality cooking show for a while and decided to come back to Augusta and work with you. And now you've got not only Fat Man's Cafe at the Mill, which is doing great, but you've also got Southern Salad, which is now, what, 6 months old that you've been running?
No, 1 year. 1 year next month.
Oh, it's 1 year already?
Yes,
wow.
Month.
It's hard to believe. Can we tell the story now? You were actually considering a run for mayor a year ago, year and a half ago, and the timing of the business really wasn't working out with it. So it was either you're going to run for mayor or you were going to open a restaurant. You couldn't do both. And you decided to stick with the restaurant.
Yes, that's correct.
That's a smart move for restaurant lovers because the restaurant's done great. You can always be mayor later.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people hope that you will be.
Well, thank you.
Have you considered that? Is that an ongoing conversation with you and your lovely wife and the rest of the family about your political future?
It's certainly a consideration, yes.
All right, well, keep that in mind. You heard it here first. A lot of folks are looking at downtown Augusta and they're saying, wow, because of the cyber installation, all the education opportunities in downtown Augusta, the fact that Augusta University moving a lot of operations down there, that it is the place to be. Are you finding that to be true, or has it been overhyped?
No, there's an awful lot of energy there, and it's still more to come. That's what people don't understand. We're not at the peak yet, and we still got a big wave to ride on this. And that's why one of the big reasons the arena needs to be where it is. I mean, because we need to catch this wave.
Absolutely. I've said on many occasions, and anybody that's got a Broad Street business knows this, you really got to do something. We, as a community, need to do something with the Richmond Summit. Are you in conversations about the future of that building with any of our local officials?
Yeah, I'm not privy to any conversations with those folks, but I guarantee you there's got to be conversations going on.
Can you imagine the incredible win-win if not only you remove the element from the Richmond Summit that causes the problems, but replace them with positive wage earners that behave themselves? What an incredible upswing that would be for downtown Augusta.
You know, not only could you move them, you could move them into a better location.
Oh, absolutely. You know, better for them.
That's right.
Better for everybody around them.
Yes, it'd be better for downtown, and it'd be better for the current residents of the Richmond Summit.
It was such a bad idea, and I understand at the time when the Richmond Summit turned into what it is, which is basically a Section 8 repository for a lot of individuals that really shouldn't be on their own. A lot of people that live there have guardians and folks that kind of check in on them on occasion. It's not quite a nursing home setting, but it's pretty close to it. The problem is that when you've got folks like that, they are easily preyed upon by nefarious criminals and characters. And downtown has been plagued by that problem for as long as the Richmond Summit's been there. So I understand years ago when nobody was downtown, why that was, you know, a decent use for the place. But, you know, 20 years ago, it should have gone.
Well, can you imagine what that block could be?
Oh,
I mean, the 700 crazy block with the Miller's, Imperial, the Marsh Museum is about to move there. Can you imagine just what that block's going to be?
It boggles the mind that nothing has happened before now. And I think that should be the number one priority of the business leadership in downtown Augusta, is to get those people moved elsewhere and to do something else with that building.
And then again, getting back to the arena for just a second.
Sure.
But that's another reason for the current site is so important. You know, one of the biggest reasons, always me as a businessman, I want to keep it connected to the Bell Auditorium. From a management standpoint, they both need to be together.
Well, you need one kitchen, too.
One kitchen, but the management group can manage two shows at one time.
Absolutely.
If you split them up, you're going to double your management on game night, so to speak.
By the way, is there an underground? There was talk of one, but I don't know that it was ever built. Is there an underground connection between the Civic Center and the Bell? Back when I was on the authority, they were talking about building an underground passageway.
In my 6 years, they hadn't showed it to me.
Okay. Well, I mean, and that might happen when they rebuild the building. Because, you know, where it's physically located would obviously, it might make it a lot easier. But again, and the reason it would do that mainly is for a shared kitchen. You got one kitchen for both facilities. It cuts costs tremendously.
Yeah, absolutely. We only have one kitchen now. If we were to move the arena, we would have to build a kitchen at the Bell, which would be an additional $2 million expense.
Absolutely. So ongoing conversation about, you know, the Civic Center being rebuilt and being in downtown Augusta. Do you believe that there will be any pushback from local voters as far as either a bonding referendum or a construction referendum if it comes to the notion going to voters? Do you think the public energy is there to underwrite the cost of this?
Well, let me just say, part of the analysis we paid for, it includes renderings, it includes flyovers, and it also includes some public forums. And we will have the people here from Lee and Perkins to go around to different parts of the community to educate them on what this arena can do for our community. And I think once they see that, we can get that excitement back. We had that excitement in August of 2017.
Yes.
And because of this controversy, we've lost it. And so we got to get that back. And I really think we can very easily, because it would be a point of pride for this community. And it's going to be one of the biggest public expenditures that this community's ever had.
Oh, no doubt.
And we got to do it right. We get one chance, and we got to do it right.
And the way they're building these arenas now, I don't want to say nothing is permanent, but it's as close to permanent as they can make it. They understand now, these buildings in the past, how they have been built too small or just right for that moment in time. They can build this new facility, number one, to be adequate the instant that it's built, but also to leave area and space for change if change needs to be made further down the road. I've seen this happen in all kinds of projects. Heinz Field's a great example. They've added seats 4 times since they built the stadium because the demand, you know, keeps requiring it. The way that arenas are being built these days, almost every one of them has, an open... it's a concept that could accommodate more if need be.
That some of the amenities, you just don't go to a concert these days. You experience it if you go to a good venue.
Absolutely.
You know, with the wide concourses, the premium seating, the concession choices. We have none of that at the JBA. We build this new arena, it'll be a whole new experience for the people that go to shows there.
Brad Ushery from the Coliseum Authority wrapping up a visit with us. And I'm going to ask him about the snow cap in just a minute. I'm looking at the clock. I got to hit a local news break. Hopefully you can stick with us for a few more minutes. Let me ask you this real quick, though, before we hit the news break. You've got an incredible management team, Spectra, that has just done phenomenal work, not only for you guys, but for some other local arenas in the area. Well, I say in the region, not in the area. But every now and then, you get a phone call, or Spectra gets a phone call saying, "Hey, Augusta, we're hearing great things. We want to come. Tell us how big that arena is." And unfortunately, Spectra here locally has to give them the bad news that they've only got X number of seats. How many big acts have we lost recently because of the size of the Civic Center?
I don't know the numbers. I could give you some names of
Please
some acts.
Please do, yeah.
We lost Dave Matthews.
Dave Matthews, man, wow.
We lost Carrie Underwood.
Carrie, and Kix would have loved to host Carrie Underwood.
We lost Eric Church.
Wow.
And I'm not sure, some of them because of capacity and some of them because of rigging. The weight of the show's rigging wouldn't hold the show.
So, in other words, there are other issues just besides physical seats that the building has that only an upgrade's going to fix.
Our arena's obsolete. Yeah. There's no renovation that's going to fix all the problems we have with the arena.
So whatever's done, you basically need to take the thing down to the foundation anyway.
It's, we build a new arena or we get out of the business.
Interesting. Okay. Brad Ushery from the Augusta Richmond County Coliseum Authority is with us for a little bit longer this afternoon, and we kind of moved past the business of the Civic Center, even though it's incredibly educational here, and some of the names that have had to pass on coming to Augusta because of either rigging concerns, physical limitations of the building, or capacity. Dave Matthews Band, Carrie Underwood, Eric Church, and some others. I've also been talking to Brad, though, about the atmosphere in downtown Augusta, the business atmosphere, and how incredibly optimistic so many folks are. Not being satisfied with just the physical location of downtown Augusta, he actually moved up George Avenue a little bit and across the river a few years ago. The decision was made to take over the snow cap. And first of all, how long had the snow cap been on the market? I didn't know that it was up for sale.
Well, I don't think it was on the market
open
publicly,
market.
Yes. But the owner contacted Havard, and we met with them that week, and we had a deal.
Wow. And that was the original owner of Snowcap, wasn't it?
No.
It wasn't?
The original owner's name was Mr. Terry, as people affectionately called him. And then we bought it from Rachel Franklin.
Gotcha. The people that took it over from him.
Right.
Snowcap, obviously, been around how many years?
64.
64 is when it opened?
Yes.
1964? Okay. So it's been around 55 years.
Right.
You had, again, a very, very popular and beloved location, but it wasn't doing a huge amount of business for the last couple of years. And I don't know whether, you know, fast food places or drive-ins had just kind of fallen out of favor, but obviously there were some infrastructure needs there as well. You guys decided to come over and completely upgrade everything.
Yes.
And how long did you have to actually physically shut down over at Snowcap to get it back in order?
Well, to do what we wanted to do, you know, expressly, we did it in 5 days.
Really?
Yes.
That's all?
We had people over there like ants.
And, I was going to say, because I know I saw an electrician crew over there driving by one day, and you were redoing a lot of the external lighting. And
yes. Once we got reopened, though, we continued to work around our customers, and we have our drive-in boxes working. Place was completely painted. We have a company out of Macon right now working on a complete renovation of the interior of the dining room.
Oh, wow.
And anyway, it's just been it's a great asset to the community. And, you know, as far as me, and I've been here for 60 years. I've never been out of Augusta more than 10 days at a time my whole life. I went to college here and everything. But I consider North Augusta an extension of Augusta.
And so, oh, no doubt. It's we're the CSRA. And there are some unfortunate political lines that separate us, Columbia County, Aiken County, that type of thing. But we're one big metro area. And I've always said that. And I travel all over the world, all over the country. And when people ask me where I'm from, I never say Evans. I say, I'm from Augusta. That's where I'm from. And I grew up, you know, right across from the golf course, if anybody ever asked me. And the name Evans, while I'm not ashamed of it, it just doesn't come up. I just can't imagine there are a lot of people that live in North Augusta that would say, I'm from North Augusta, South Carolina. Just that when you're, you know, in Paris meeting somebody, or if you're out in Los Angeles meeting somebody, it just seems like Augusta's the natural thing to say. Your mom, Carolyn Ushery, God rest her soul, one of the leading political figures in city politics from, about the mid-60s up through the mid-80s, late 80s. It's funny. There's so many noteworthy names that come up when you talk about mayors and county commission chairmen and everything. All of them are male. Two of the strongest women I knew, two of the strongest leaders I knew, happened to be women, were your mother, Carolyn Ushery, and B.J. Annis on the Richmond County School Board. And I guarantee you, had those two women been allowed to run things on their own, we wouldn't have had a problem anywhere ever. They were two of the smartest, most honest, hardworking people I've ever known in my life.
Two good businesswomen.
And tough as nails, but not foreboding or not bullies at all. They always looked to build coalitions. They always looked for logical answers. And never did I – only one time did I see BJ really lose her temper, and that's when Murray Nunnery was fussing at her about smoking at the meeting table in the Board of Education meeting, and she leaned back in her chair and she said, Murray, I'll put the cigarette out when you quit running off to the bathroom to drink your liquor. I promise you I'll stop smoking if you're not drunk and during these meetings. And I thought I was going to fall out of my chair. And he never said a word to her about smoking ever again.
Well, I tell you, my mom, she would never bring up a problem unless she had a solution.
Oh, absolutely. And I can remember her on more than one occasion grabbing Charles Devaney by the arm and saying, if you don't get this spending under control, it is going to be the death of the city. I remember it was like three or four meetings in a row she would say that to him when everything was over with. She never confronted him publicly about it, but it was always in a small group around. She said, Mr. Mayor, you've got to. And he didn't listen to her,
well,
which drove her to distraction, I'm afraid.
The greatest story that I never saw, but I've heard it many times from people who told me, was she threw her pocketbook at Mayor Devaney.
I believe it. Trust me, in a one-on-one match between Carolyn Ushery and Mayor Devaney, he wouldn't have lasted two rounds. Ain't no doubt about that. I also saw her on a couple of occasions get up on Ed McIntyre, which very few people ever did. But she didn't stand for any foolishness from him either, which, again, just goes to, it's a testament of how strong she was as a leader and how completely and totally grounded she was as a human being. Not an ounce of pretense about her. And I've said this about your family before. I don't think anybody can challenge me on it. I don't know of a more successful generational name in Augusta than the Ushery name. and it that it was built by so many different people, going back to your father, your mother. And it's funny because your dad died fairly young. I mean, you know, how old was he when he died?
47.
That is amazing to me. And I was a kid when he passed away. Was that a sudden death? He didn't get sick, did he?
Well, he got cancer.
He always
pancreatic cancer.
But he went pretty quick back in those days.
Absolutely.
Because it seems like he was there 1 minute and gone quickly. And your mom didn't miss a beat when it came to the running of the businesses. And did you ever for a minute when you were in college and you and Paige were, you know, planning a life out? By the way, married a fine Westside High School girl. He can say Richmond Academy all day long. When it came time to picking a woman, he went to Westside. Did you ever think about leaving? Did you ever think about going and doing something else? Did you ever think about selling cars, building houses, something else?
You know, it never entered my mind. I actually left college before I graduated 1 quarter early to come to work during the Christmas season. Then I went back in the winter to finish my degree. And, it's part of my life. Always has been.
Well, you know, there's so many people that remember Fat Man so fondly, so many different reasons, whether it was the shopping year-round, whether it was the Christmas time. I still say you guys had the best Halloween set up long before it became, you know, cliche almost to do it. These days, everybody's popping up with a Halloween section. You guys were Halloween personified forever and ever and ever. And when it came to costumes, Jay, there was one place in Augusta, Georgia, you could get any kind of costume you wanted, and it was Fat Man's. I remember that when you were transitioning out of that location and closing down the costume business, you had a big sale, and Storyland Theater went by there, and we bought a bunch of stuff. I personally bought all kind of things that I to this day use, like fake king jewelry and crowns and glasses and mustaches and all that kind of stuff. Did you ever think when you were transitioning out of that business, did you ever think that you would do what you've done, and that's basically become one of the largest and most successful independent restaurateurs in the country? Excuse me, in the area, not in the country. But
you know, my sisters and my brother-in-law were my partner at that time, and they were ready to give it up, and you know, they'd worked hard their whole lives,
sure,
you know, just as we all had, and I knew I was too young to quit, so the easiest thing to grab was the food service part, and I have to give my son a lot of credit. He's really helped it grow.
Well, he's an ushery. You can't help it. It's not like he's got a choice. Well, that's not true, because Hodges has run off and joined the circus,
yeah,
so it is possible. But, you know, there had been a number of people that had tried to make it a go at the Enterprise Mill location and had failed miserably. And it was always very troubling to me. I love Enterprise Mill, especially, you know, all the work that was done on it by the
Boardmans.
The Boardmans, thank you. I was going to say the Smile Gas people, but no, it was the Boardmans. The Boardmans did incredible work getting it up and recreated back from the dust, or from the absolute ashes, like a phoenix. And you would have thought that a restaurant or a cafe or, you know, some eating establishment would have been a natural in that spot. But they struggled. I think they went through, what, three or four incarnations of eating establishments or even fast food places within the building there, and all of them failed until you came in.
Well, first of all, Clay's vision of the mill is incredible.
Oh, it's, I mean, it's,
he's done an amazing job.
And Clay Boardman is one of the greatest unsung heroes in this area.
Absolutely.
Right up there with the Knoxes and what they did with Sacred Heart and the Miller. Mm-hmm. You know,
when you do something like what we did at the mill with Fat Man's and creating the event mill event space, you know, you have to create a niche. And we went in there. We knew we wouldn't get a whole lot of drive-by traffic as far as the restaurant. We knew we had to rely on our reputation, a lot of delivery business, which everybody's getting into now. We've delivered food forever.
That's right. Yeah.
And so we created a niche, and we created a solution to a problem, and that's how we've been successful.
Well, we love it down there. Our company Christmas parties are always down at Fat Man's. And, again, I have to remind people this in case they don't know. If you ever get a hankering for those boiled peanuts, you keep them going down there most time of the year. Do you do it in the summertime?
No, just in the fall.
Just in the fall. Okay, right. I guess the last couple of times I've been down there, it's been in the fall. But when I open the door, I hit the smell, and it's like going home again. It's awesome. By the way, speaking of the smell, I mentioned this a minute ago. I had no earthly idea that Brad's family was related to the Gerald's that own Gerald's Convenience Store, which for, what, 40 years was across the street from where National Hill Shopping Center was built. It was actually there before the shopping center was built in 66.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I loved Gerald's up until the day that it closed in the early 70s. It must have closed, what, 72, 73, something like that?
I'm not sure.
And in that spot, Silverstein's Cleaners went into that location, and then years later, the Gerald's still owned the property. Brad was telling me they sold it to the Augusta National some years ago. But bottom line, what relation were the Gerald's to y'all?
Miss Gerald was my aunt, my mother's sister.
Wow. So your mother was a Gerald?
No, my mother was a Havard.
Oh, that's right. That's what we were talking about.
So Miss Gerald was a Havard.
Gotcha.
They were two of 10
Gerald
girls.
Was her married name.
Yeah, two of 10 girls.
Wow. Did they own any other convenience stores besides that one?
Well, you know, we had Gerald's, and of course, it was Fat Man's convenience store downtown.
Right.
But that was it.
That was the only Gerald's.
Yes.
Well, I loved it, and Lord knows how many nickels and dimes I spent in that place when I was a little bitty kid. Probably $100 all said and done, and that's a whole lot for a 4, 5, and 6-year-old kid. You guys have represented so many of the great, great Augusta business legends and business traditions. Thank you for what you do. I know a lot of times it would have been easier for you to cash out, take the real estate money, and just, you know, go sit at the beach. So thank you for what you do.
It's a
tremendous asset to the community.
I love what I do.
And tell Hodges when he wins his Academy Award not to forget us.
Hope he doesn't forget me.
Okay. All right. Many thanks to Brad Ushery. I got to run.
Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Road Show. Listen to Austin weekdays from 3 till 6 on Augusta's News Talk and Information Station, WGAC, at 95.1 FM, 101.9 FM, and AM 580. Stream it live on WGAC.com or on the WGAC mobile app. Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Road Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.